welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned to the broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick up our study here in John 17, verse number 4, here in the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer. There are other prayers in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus was inquired of him by his disciples, and they said, "Teach us to pray." And so the Lord gave them a model prayer about how to pray. He gave them teaching and instruction about how to pray. And those are the model's prayers. Those are the model prayer unto us, not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord there, he gave instruction about how to pray, but didn't necessarily pray for anything specifically at that time. Here in John chapter 17, we have a totally different scenario. The Lord Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he speaks. He's speaking to the Father. And even in this passage tells us that he is praying. And so we've seen here that in these first few verses that the Son is looking to glorify the Father, and that he is control of who he gives everlasting life unto. The Lord makes it plain that the Father has given him a people, and he has saved them. He will save them. And then eternal life gives us a description about that. Is knowing the Lord, knowing God, and knowing Jesus Christ, who has been sent by the Father. That is salvation. Do you know the Lord? Not know of the Lord, but do you know the Lord? Does he know you? And then in verse number 4 we come, and the scripture says this, "I have glorified thee on the earth." And here again, a witness to us, we as the Lord's people need to glorify our God. "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And so the Lord's work in regards to atonement and redemption, the Lord Jesus will fulfill it. He's not done it yet, but with God and with the Lord Jesus, because he is God, when it's purposed to be done, it's as good as done. And so here the Lord is speaking in from that context. "And now, O Father," verse 5, "glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." I wonder about this verse. I've wondered about this verse for many years. "The glory which I had with thee before the world was." There's something that is there, something I don't understand what it is. I wonder and muse about what the Lord Jesus means, but there is seemingly at the time before the world existed, before the Lord created it, there was a glory that was held by the Lord Jesus that after the world was created, he did not hold. If I'm reading and understanding this right, if it is that particular in the description, the Lord Jesus says, "O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And I wonder about that verse. Was there something that Jesus, in being our Savior when the earth was created, and the Lord being all knowledgeable about those things that would come to pass, and in how he would create and what he would do and what he would allow, that there was some of the glory of the Lord Jesus that he set aside, that he willingly laid down because of what he would do in being a Savior for his people? I don't know, but I do wonder about it, and I find it particular how the Lord makes this inquiry here in verse 5. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." And I find that interesting. So much that Jesus has done for his people, so much that Jesus has done for sinners that he saves, the half cannot be fancied beside the golden shore. We just do not understand everything that the Lord Jesus has done. And these that claim that they can save themselves by their obedience, rather than the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, To say that one can save themselves is claiming the total mind of God and understanding of all things. And you know what? There are things eternally that we do not understand, that we cannot give answer to. We need a Savior that can do so to be able to save sinners like us. Those that promote and believe that they can seek a sinless perfection. Understand, sinner, no sinner in this life is ever going to be perfect, and no sinner in this life will ever, even though they're saved, will ever be able to completely obey the Lord in all things. The answer is in Christ and what He does for the sinner. There is no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. We will not be perfect. We will not be sinless until we have that new body that Jesus gives us when He returns for His people. Not until then will we be sinless and perfect. But to say that one can do so now is again claiming that they have the mind of God. Do you know, you that might be under the hearing of my voice, that would claim that you can be sinless and perfect without flaw and error? Do you know all things? Are you a judge about what is wicked and what is righteous? Only the Lord is such, and He tells us many things in His Scripture. He does. He gives us many things in His Scripture, but to know all things, there are sins that we've committed against God that we are totally ignorant about. The Old Testament Scriptures bear that out, about the sins of ignorance that we don't even know. And for one to claim that they're sinlessly perfect, or that they can gain their own salvation by what they do, is making a claim of the understanding of God that mere mortals do not have. I glorified Thee, verse 4, on the earth. I finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. What was it that Jesus laid down for His people? One day we'll know. Verse 6, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Why? They're of the Father. They're of the Lord. And He, the Father, had men that He has given out of the world to the Son. And the Lord has called and saved them. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. We understand that the Father has sent the Son, and we see the great love of God in it. For I have given, verse 8, unto them the words which Thou gavest me. Jesus is not a freelancer, but is a repeater of those things He was given. And they have received them, which that's what sheep do, as they receive the word of God, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. And that's what sinners that see the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior do, is they know that He's been sent by the Father for them. He is their Savior, and they repent, and they believe, and they trust in Him. And they have received the words. See, one that doesn't receive the words, well, I don't need the gospel, I don't need the Bible, I don't need what the Word of God says, I don't need that religion thing, I don't need a Savior dying for me. They don't receive the words. They don't receive what the Lord has given. Verse 9, I pray for them. This may really upset some people, but listen to what Jesus says. I pray for them. Who's the them? Let's read verse 8 again. For I've given unto them the words Thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. Okay, so let's back up a verse to get clarity about the them. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are Thee. So there's still a reference there to they. Let's back up to verse 6. And I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. I pray for them, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray for the men which Thou hast given me out of the world. That's who Jesus is praying for. And listen to this. I pray for them, verse 9. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. The Lord came to save a people. We don't know who that people are, And so we preach the gospel unto all. But here again, the Lord Jesus makes very plain that there is a people that he has, that has been given to him of the Father, that he will save. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. They have been thine, the Lord's, from eternity past. He has chosen them. He has made them his own, and in time, in the work of the Savior, he calls and saves them through the preaching of the gospel and repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus is praying for his people. Verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Here, they glorify the Son. The Lord's people glorify the Son. They glorify God. And they belong to him and will eternally belong to him, for they are the Lord's. And now, verse 11, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He is going to the Father and is leaving his in the world. And listen to what he says. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Unity. Unity in the Lord. Unity in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's only unity amongst the Lord's churches and the essential or distinctive Baptist doctrine. There's only unity amongst those who are the Lord's as we consider the whole religious world and denominations and universalism, Protestantism, and all that. Look how many things there's so much disagreement on. So many things, the essential things regarding the salvation of the soul, that there's so much division on. Can Christ be divided? No. No. The doctrine and the way of the Lord is that of unity, and it is a narrow way. It is what the Lord has given, and not what men have conjured up and think. The Lord is praying for his own, and he's glorified in his own, and he is leaving the world, and he says here, verse 11, and now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And so the Lord here is asking, is praying to the Father that those who are the Lord's would be kept, and that they might be united. Well, I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.